All right, everyone, welcome back. Today I have with me Brennan Dunn, who is a serial entrepreneur. He's actually based in my home state of Virginia, but he's actually at home right now before in between traveling the world. So Brennan has run many different businesses, which we're going to get into today. And he's also working on launching a new software business that he's going to be doing in a slightly different way than he's done it before. So hopefully we're going to get into all of that. So Brennan, welcome to the show. If you would, tell us a little bit about yourself, about the businesses you run, and tell us why you're here.
Cool. So thank you, John. I guess my two things I'm doing now are I'm the founder of Double Your Freelancing, where we help freelancers get better at the business behind their business. And my other thing that I've started this year is I'm the co-founder of Right Message, which is a website personalization software company that helps make it easy for people to speak a little more directly to the people viewing their websites.
Gotcha. So you've done a bunch of different businesses. If you could start from like, what was your first business, and give us the quick recaps of, all the different types of businesses that you've run.
Sure. So the first business that I really had, so I did in college, I did a lot of the usual like web designing for friends, parents' company and stuff, right? So I started kind of freelancing without knowing it was freelancing. But my first one was, so I had dropped out of school to start this. It was really a personalization tool, kind of. What I was doing was, one of my clients that I had when I was in college had me build a landing page thing for him for his mortgage business. So we would run ads and get people to go to this little landing page, single page landing page, with his like branding and his logo and all this stuff in a contact form, right?
Yep.
And what we did is we just did a rev share on money that came, or sales he made through this. Mm-hmm. And it did really well. I had no idea that mortgage brokers would pay so much money for a name and a phone number.
Oh, so much money.
So yeah. So I was at a liberal arts school and it's doing okay, but it was expensive and I was kind of itching to start my own thing. So I started this company called Agathon Solutions with a friend of mine. And what it did is we just had a single landing page that we ran ads to. We ran AdWords back when it was kind of much cheaper than it is nowadays.
Yeah.
But we also did media buy type stuff and paid newsletters and stuff like this.
Okay.
Very new to it all. But as a programmer, what I did is I made it so like if you went to the that landing page and you click through from like Virginia and we just looked at your IP to figure out like where you might live, mm-hmm. We would just randomly take our template and put in one of our Virginia customers' branding and everything else. And then if that lead converted, we would email directly the name and, the data from that contact form to that person. So a lot of mortgage brokers were doing like LendingTree or, these kind of services where they're like the 80th person to call a lead.
Right.
And it's really hard, like, because they all sell the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So we were doing these kind of personalized branded leads that did really well. And then I think the mortgage bubble burst in like 2006 or whenever this was.
Yeah.
So that's when I, the business fell apart, but it did really well. And I learned a lot about kind of, getting traffic and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I ended up getting into the agency world, working at an agency. And then I moved up to Virginia. I was in Florida at the time. I moved to Virginia. And then I started freelancing and did pretty well. So I grew a company from that, or I scaled beyond myself and got it to 11 employees. We did pretty decently. I mean, we had an office here in Norfolk, Virginia. And then I got out of that in 2011 to start a SaaS called PlanScope, which, go figure, as an agency owner, it was the project management tool that I wish I had running a business. So I did that.
Yep.
Couldn't handle running an agency and a SaaS simultaneously. So I exited the agency to focus full time on PlanScope. PlanScope, being a project management tool and a sea of other PM tools, was very hard to grow. Mm-hmm. So I started doing kind of typical content marketing stuff where I would write articles targeting the kind of people who would use PlanScope. And that became Double Your Freelancing because people asked me for more information about what I was writing about. That led to a book and then courses and conferences and all that other stuff. So that's doing well now. That's it does 7 figures a year.
Wow.
It's pretty much myself. And it pays all the bills and a lot more.
Yep.
But one thing that came from that is because I'm targeting freelancers, there's a lot of different types of freelancers. Mm-hmm. So you have marketers, you have writers, programmers, designers, and everything in between. We also have agencies, and we have solo people who are freelancers, mm-hmm. and we can help them all. And one thing that I started doing a few years back was making it so, like, let's say a web design blog sends traffic to an article on my site. Mm-hmm. I would just assume that people coming from that were designers, and then I would speak to them as they go to like my product page or see an opt-in form or whatever as the designer. Mm-hmm. And it started working really well. Mm-hmm. So I really focused on kind of behind the scenes. The developer in me was like, let's try to see what I could do with this, like how far can I go? Mm-hmm. And then I started pulling data out of my email marketing app Drip and making it so, like, if you're on my list and I know this about you and you're on this product page, I'm going to change that product page.
Wow.
To have, like, testimonials from people just like you or, you know, whatever else. And I started to see, like, overall conversion rates for opt-ins to purchases to everything in between just start to really go up.
Huh.
And this kind of got me on the radar of a few companies who were doing considerably more in sales than mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, we want this. So I, last year I just built a course on marketing automation, and I bundled in a lot of the code I used on my site mm-hmm. as like one of the bonuses, right?
Yep.
But then people would, you know, we had 400-ish people, I think, buy the course so far.
Okay.
And the number one piece of feedback was, what the hell do I do with this stuff, right?
So, right, right. How do I implement it?
Exactly. So that led me to, in early 2017, to start thinking about, well, do I maybe make a SaaS out of this code that I've written mm-hmm. and make it so it's a little more almost like simple, like Optimizely, where you can just click on what you want to change,
right.
change it. Because what I had built required you to actually write some code to say, like, here's the headline and here's the CSS selector for that. Mm-hmm. Now change it to this when this is true. And it's kind of annoying because you need to, you know, writing or making changes required you to modify your code base.
Right.
Then use a tool, let's say. So, right. So I built up interest in 2017 for this, and it's doing really well. And I've been focused on that kind of passively at the beginning of the year. And then in late spring, I was like, all right, let's see if we can, you know, what would happen if we opened the doors on set once. And before we knew it, we had just more customers than I could have ever expected in the window we had, along with more interest. So I've actually made it more or less my full-time gig over the last few months. We opened the doors in June.
Okay.
And we're doing really well, and just a lot of stuff. It's interesting because it's a new audience for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's some overlap, but it's not huge. And what's interesting is it's just how it's kind of new in that a lot of people conceptually get it, but no one's really doing this. Not many people are saying, like, hey, if they've bought product A and they're looking at product B, maybe describe product B a bit differently to them than you would to other people, right?
Right, because they have more context and whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's what we do. Like, if I was talking to you about my business, like, right now, mm-hmm. I would change the way, if the listenership of your podcast were my mom and people like that, I would be describing this stuff differently, right?
Sure.
Like, I would use the word SaaS.
Right.
Wouldn't know what that means. So we do this already in person. So my thought was, why can't we do this online? And that's kind of what we're doing now with Write Message.
Right.
So that's my new thing. That's my kind of like latest thing that I've been focused on.
Totally. And I like that. I like that approach because, I mean, having been in the digital world for a while, building sites and companies for a while, you know, we try to do it in different ways, right? Like, you're doing it kind of passively behind the scenes where you're saying, like, okay, they visited this page and this page and they came from here and they're in this location. So therefore we should show them this messaging. Most people will, like, you know, you'll come to an e-commerce site and you'll click through and answer like 5 questions about yourself and then they'll personalize it from there.
Yeah.
And you're just doing it on the fly and requiring no input from them. They're just doing their own, like, navigating up the site.
I mean, you can do both. Yeah. So the quiz kind of model where you give them like a survey, that obviously works well. And then you can, it's funny, I've seen people who do these quizzes, but they don't do much with the data. But what I'm interested in is what can we behaviorally figure out about somebody? Mm. So like if they come, like in my case, let's say that I use surveys and quizzes also to figure certain data out, especially if I don't know the data.
Yep.
But if somebody is linked to my site from a web designer site and they're reading articles on my site, and the most popular or the kind of articles they're reading the most about are around proposal writing. Mm-hmm. I can probably safely assume that they're a designer who cares about proposals.
Right.
So when I show them, let's say they go to my homepage and they see the hero call to action,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be about how this lead magnet helps designers close more proposals.
Yes.
So it's kind of like the same effect that a content upgrade would have, but mm-hmm. on more of a, instead of saying, here's an article about X, show a lead magnet about X, instead it's saying, based on what we know demographically, where do they come from? Maybe if we're running retargeting ads on them on mm-hmm. Facebook, let's say,
mm-hmm.
we can take the same ad and say, have it run, men are going to see this variation, women are going to see this variation. And then even that, I could pass that data into my site so that, they see testimonials from, for my stuff, the male, female, age stuff doesn't really apply as much,
sure.
but I could say, if they like Smashing Magazine,
mm-hmm.
there's probably a good chance that they're a developer.
Right.
And I can pass that info in and then use that to kind of help me make an assumption about who they might be.
Totally.
But then I also do things like when you join my list, I send emails every Sunday, depending on what data I don't have about you, that'll mm-hmm. say things like, hey, click which one of these is most reflects what you want from us, for instance. So one thing I ask is, do you want community? Do you want business training? Do you want to augment your skills?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to overcome imposter syndrome? And these are basically trigger links within the automated emails I send out.
Right.
But when they click that, it applies data to their subscriber record. So when they're back on my site, I know, okay, this is, John, he's a marketer who runs an agency and he wants help with, skill augmentation, learning new stuff that helps make it valuable. I can then tweak testimonials, headlines, images. It's usually not much. It's just tweaking random bits, but I've had pretty good success just by doing that.
Totally. So when you say, you mentioned a little bit ago that you conversion rates and opt-ins and all that started taking off. Are we talking 2x? Are we talking 5x? How much better did you do?
All right. So I used to have kind of the typical universal call to action on my site.
Yeah.
So if you're reading an article, you see a call to action at the end.
Yep.
Or if you're on the homepage, what I've done is I just looked at, behaviorally, what kind of content are they consuming? Mm-hmm. What category of content?
Yep.
Along with what do I know based off of if they came from a certain site or something like that.
Yep.
Had a lift of about 250% in opt-ins.
Wow.
Just from doing that. Yeah. So,
big.
Considering my lead value, that's it.
Yeah. Enormous.
In terms of sales. So the one course of mine that I've personalized pretty extensively is my main course, Double Your Freelancing.
Mm-hmm.
It's had about 8,000 customers over the last few years.
Wow.
Does very well. But I've simply just changed the headline, changed any instance of the word freelancer to freelance marketer or mm-hmm. design agency or, whatever kind of phrase you should be based off of data.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone has had a 70% lift in sales.
Wow. Okay.
So really, what I do, so most people get there, go through an email course beforehand. And in that email course, I ask people point blank, what are you, what is the thing you, when you join this free email course, what do you need help with? Do you want help with just learning how to price to begin with? Are you clueless about what you're worth?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want help with value pricing? Or are you losing a lot of proposals?
Right.
So click the one that best represents you, and then I'll send you lesson one.
Yep.
So let's say they click value pricing. So if I know at this point they're a designer, they're an agency, and now that they care about value pricing,
mm-hmm.
by the time they get pitched at the end of the course and are sent to the landing page of the product,
mm-hmm.
It's all about how this helps design agencies value price their projects.
Yep.
Whereas a split second later, a freelance developer who wants help with proposal stuff is looking at the same sales page. The product is the description, the offer mm-hmm. is focused on how it's going to help that person as a freelance developer basically close more proposals by doing
right.
this, changing the way you sell.
Right.
So, it's what you would expect, right? If mm-hmm. I was had a booth at a design conference or something, I'm going to, if somebody comes up to my booth, I'm going to talk to them differently than I would somebody at a marketing conference.
Totally.
So
that's
what we do offline. It's just making it a little more accessible online.
Totally. Totally. And so you're basically wiring all this up with, you have your site, and then using Drip for your Drip emails. And I assume everything in there is tagged. Everything on your site is tagged
yeah.
with Drip's code. So you're just passing everything back and forth.
Yeah, Trip is like your subscriber record within Trip is like your user record, right?
Yeah.
And then anytime you either opt in or click on a link in an email I send you, I'm basically authenticating your device against that record. So now, like if you click a link that I send you in an email, I know this is, you know, John and this is what he does and all this stuff, all the right. data I keep about you. And then that gets synced over to the site. So then the site can say like, hey, if you know, first name is equal to John, you show this or something, right?
Yeah,
not that
yeah.
I do that, but I could.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, that kind of stuff.
Well, and the beautiful thing is that works across platform, right? Like doesn't matter if I check email on, you know, on my desktop, on my laptop on my phone, right? Because it's like, it's all based off of that email record. Like, you know who I am. So it's not like cookie based necessarily.
Right. So, but that being said, if you did come in like incognito, I'd have no idea who you were.
Right. So I'm going to go and look around and cause I am on your Drip like email course, like your 7-day like pricing course or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to go click around and see if I can find some of your spots. See what you're doing. That's super interesting.
It's pretty subtle, but it works.
Yeah. Can you do stuff, show different things based off of laptop or mobile phone or whatever? Cause I know one thing, like one challenge a lot of people have is, you know, their mobile conversions are just so much lower, you know, than their desktop conversions, right? Especially in a B2B space, right? Like I'm W freelancing is B2B, write message is B2B. So like you're not going for, you know, ginormous scale, right? You're not going for millions of of customers, right? So then so many people are on their phones these days, and the consumer shift happened faster, but the B2B shift is definitely happening. What do you do there?
Oh, two things. So if you're not on my list, I generally want you on my list before I want to sell you on anything. Mm-hmm. So you're right in that on phones, people are less likely to buy. So if you are, let's say you're anonymous and I don't know who you are, call to action is usually going to be about like, I'm not going to push products on you because you don't know me yet.
Yep.
But if you're on my list already and you haven't bought product X, then you're more likely to get a pitch for product X, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you're reading an article of mine that I email you in my weekly newsletter, you click through, if you're on my list, you're not going to see an opt-in form.
Yeah.
You're seeing like promotions for the next thing, which is usually some sort of lead magnet. But what's nice is with this, like one thing I've started doing that I'm about to roll out in a better way is let's say I have a lead magnet that relates to an article or it's something that I want you to do that'll eventually pitch you on a product you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
One click opt-in. So I already know your email, you're on mobile, you just tap okay or whatever the button says.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in that sequence, right? So
totally.
That's really powerful because what I've done and what I'm about to roll out with that is the idea of like a content upgrade where you're reading an article and here's like a checklist that relates to the article.
Mm-hmm.
Such a wasted opportunity when you're sending your list to that article.
And then
the content upgrade is like, what's your email?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean,
frustrating.
And they might tape in a different email of theirs. Now you've got two records for the same person.
Yeah.
So what I've done, I ruthlessly try to eliminate email forms if I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, one thing we're rolling out is if you're on my list and reading an article with a content upgrade, to unlock the content upgrade, you need to share it on Facebook or Twitter.
Oh, smart. Yeah.
And then if you're anonymous, meaning you just came from someone who shared on Facebook or Twitter, to get it, you opt in with your email address.
Yep.
So depending on kind of, yeah. So just so much you can do with that stuff. I mean, in terms of just mobile like device checking or probably better resolution checking, I don't do much with that outside of like if the call to actions I have, if you're on desktop or bigger resolution, you mm-hmm. tend to see like a slide up banner.
Yep.
But if it's mobile, it's in line baked within the article.
Okay.
I take that and I kind of repeat it depending on how the article is.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Gotcha. You know, that's super, super, super smart. I think mobile is one of those things that marketers are really starting to come to grips with. And I mean, like I come from the SEO side, so all SEOs are like, oh, they're going to move into a mobile first index soon, right? Which like, yeah, really does matter. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you don't want to lose your traffic. But at the same time, it's like, what if we're converting more of the traffic that we're getting, right? And get qualified traffic, B, scale that qualified traffic, C, convert more of that qualified traffic.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the stuff that to me is when I can play around with when I can increase sales or conversions by not needing to work on traffic gen or redoing my product lineup or pricing or anything, but I can just optimize that middle bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that it's usually for the amount of effort that goes into it relative to the result. I mean, like with me, if I wanted to get 250% more opt-ins, traditionally I would need to get 250% more traffic, right?
Right, right.
But this allows me to optimize the current traffic I already have,
right,
and just do a few different things. I mean, the end goal would be obviously to have content upgrades that are specific to each article, because mm-hmm. nothing will beat those.
Right.
Because if you have an article like starting a freelancing business, and then the call to action for that article is the checklist that relates to that article, mm-hmm. that's going to do really, really well.
Yep.
But that's time consuming. And so what I've done is I've kind of have something in between where I'm saying, like, if you land on that article, I'm putting you in the beginner segment. So the call to action is going to be something around that. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I can assume if you Google and you're now on that article, you're probably not looking to like grow an agency.
Right.
You're starting out, right? Mm-hmm. So that by virtue of where you came from and what kind of content you're reading, mm-hmm. you're telling me a bit about yourself.
Right? Totally. Totally.
So, it's just using that to my advantage to be
yep.
able to
yep.
words and phrases.
Absolutely. And I've done some of that on Credo as well, just like basic, you know, if you're on this page and then you click to this, you know, conversion form, like on my site, if you're on a, like the SEO consultants page, and then you click the find a marketer button at the top, it's automatically going to fill in SEO as what you're looking for.
Right? Oh, nice. Very cool.
But if you're on like content marketing, it'll be content marketing. If you're on Facebook ads, it'll be Facebook ads. And then if it's on, like, I have like seven, and then if it's any of the others, then I have an other field, which then drops down another form field that asks like, what are you looking for?
Nice.
And just that in and of itself, I saw a 30% lift.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little dumb stuff like that, right? That just works so
totally,
well.
Totally. And you have to do, and over time you do a bunch of them, you fail on some of them work, some of them don't, but the ones that work, you know, like you get that 30% lift. It's not like 30% one-time lift. It's like you keep that 30% lift. That's your new baseline.
Not only that, it stacks. I mean, you get a lot of these little things in motion, and mm-hmm. they just kind of stack on top of each other.
Totally. Yeah. So let's back up and say, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about Double Your Freelancing, because it does seem to be an awesome product. The stuff that the emails I've gotten from you are like really like, especially for beginners and people that like haven't, you know, been like in the business for a long time, haven't been selling work for a while. It's like it's paradigm shifting. So I guess I'm curious about like within Double Your Freelancing, like where did you start with that? Like how, cause there are a lot of, cause you're an agency owner that then went to doing that. And there are a lot of agency owners and consultants out there that want to do software, you know, or like launch courses instead of, you know, doing services necessarily. I know you still do some services and most consultants do, even if they have a product, but, yeah, where did you start, and kind of what did that journey look like? Because you didn't go from zero to making, you know, six figures a month, you know, in 6 months.
No.
Definitely not.
Multiple
yeah.
years.
Yeah, totally.
So,
which is what a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, so with me, okay, so I, you know, I had the SaaS, right, mm-hmm. PlanScope, and I wanted people to sign up for it.
Yep.
And amazing thing about websites is having a website doesn't actually mean you're going to have anyone looking at it, right?
So totally true.
I was looking at like, what do people do to get people on their SaaS, like
yep.
to sign up for their SaaS? And there's a lot of tactics out there, but the thing that kept coming up was content marketing. Hmm. So the idea was relatively few people are Googling around for like agency project management software, mm-hmm. but a lot of people were searching for how do I price, or how do I get clients, or mm-hmm. how do I do this. And on top of that, I realized the clients or the customers I did have, when many of them canceled, it wouldn't have to do with the product itself. Oftentimes it would be, I don't have work, right? Mm-hmm. I'm out of work, mm-hmm. out of projects. So that was one. Okay. So that got me thinking, well, what could I, you know, I learned a bunch about running an agency, having run an agency. Well, what could I, maybe I'll just write articles about things I'd learned, and I would largely just get involved with online forums and like Reddit. And there used to be one, I forgot the name of it, but Freelance Switch, I think, used to have a pretty
okay.
big forum.
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
Yeah. And I would just, like, I noticed the same threads kept coming up again and again. And I realized, well, they're probably, like, they're asking Reddit that question, but they might also be asking Google that question.
Right.
So I would just go and kind of not only get involved, because writing content and then, I mean, you'd know about this a lot more than I would, but writing content and getting people to organically find it on Google, to me, I didn't really have a, it's kind of demotivating to write a big long article, hit publish, and have no idea if anyone's actually reading it.
Yep,
so
totally.
what I would do is I would just get involved in conversations online in these forums and say, hey, let me think about, you know, here's like a few paragraph response. Give me a bit. I think I'm going to write something a little more in depth on this. Mm-hmm. And then when I'd do that, and yep. then I would cycle back and say, oh, here's kind of my actual answer, mm-hmm. right? And so it wasn't very spammy because I'm actually participating in discussions.
Totally.
That kicked things off. And then, you know, I did that for a while. And then slowly but surely, the organic stuff started to ramp up. Mm-hmm. But that's how it started. I mean, I realized people were not Googling for software. They were Googling to ask questions to Google about problems they have.
Right.
But demographically, they were kind of the right mold, right? So
right.
The next mistake I made was that people, I thought, like somebody searching for how do I raise my rates and then reading an article about that. Mm-hmm. The worst possible call to action is, hey, here's my, you know, project management, you know, software.
Yep.
There's a complete disconnect there.
Right.
So that's when I started doing things like looking into these email courses. And back then they were very linear and stupid, but mm-hmm. they kind of worked.
They worked.
I would just get a lot of the same questions again and again about, certain things I brought up, and that led to a very simple and cheap ebook about 4.5 years ago, mm-hmm. Which was called Double Your Freelancing Rate.
Yep.
And then now this is the fourth version of it, but it's become a whole online course.
Yep.
And from that, people would then say, okay, great. Now help me systematically get more leads. So mm-hmm. that led to another product. And then people who wanted a little more community, and that led to going out on a limb and basically saying, I'm going to start a conference. So I did five of those so far. I mean, one thing always led to another, it seems, with what I was doing. So at first, Double Your Freelancing was a content marketing initiative. That's all it was.
Yeah.
And then I remember because I had all these different single page domains for my products I'd created. Mm. It didn't feel right to put them on PlanScope. Mm-hmm. But then the articles were on PlanScope/blog.
Right.
And then BrennanDunn.com had my podcast. Mm-hmm. And what was it, 2 years ago, maybe 2.5? I think it was 2 years ago, actually, is when I consolidated everything under the new domain, WFreelancing.com.
Interesting.
Moved all the articles over that, obviously the ones about
PlanScope.
PlanScope updates I kept there. Sure. But everything else I moved over the course stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when it became like a proper brand, I would say.
Yeah, that became like the canonical place for like all the stuff you've shared over the years, whether it was for PlanScope or on your personal site or wherever.
Exactly.
That became the place. So it's just like epic. I mean, epic, like backlog of content right there, content marketing that, you know, is still generating traffic. So you could kind of take off like out of the gate.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Interesting. So what about pricing? I mean, pricing is one of those things that, and not like, how do I sell better like services? I think, you know, you cover that in, you know, in Double Your Freelancing, but when it comes to pricing for your product, right? Like how is Double Your Freelancing structured as far as like payment is concerned? And have you been through different like iterations there?
Oh yeah. So I mentioned when it was an ebook, it started at 29.
Yep.
Just
$29 get a PDF to download.
Currently, it's $297 for the full package of Double Your Freelancing Rate, which is my main product.
Okay.
Just kind of like the first product most people buy.
Yep.
And then
just one-time fee.
Yeah, one-time fee. Although I downsell installment options.
Okay.
Which I'm actually backing away from, considering the card failures. Where like anyone who can't put $300 on a credit card probably is going to have some credit issues, right?
Yep.
So. Totally. So that's my main thing. But then I have like a course I'm redoing called Sell Yourself Online, which is a course on lead gen from your site. Mm-hmm. I have Mastering Project Roadmaps, which is about doing paid consultations prior to a project. Mm-hmm. I used to have the Academy, which was a $9,000 program, which was 7 months long.
Okay.
Very intensive. And
kind of like the foundation, but for service businesses.
That's a good way of equating it. Yeah.
Okay.
It was very, everything was live.
Yeah.
But it's margins were really low.
Yeah.
A lot of work. It was like, I mean, I had 14 people helping me with that one product alone.
Oh my gosh.
So it was kind of like a little agency.
Yeah.
Didn't want to do that though.
Okay.
And, it was a great product. It was just really hard to run and sell.
Yeah, totally.
But then I have a course on automation, which is kind of like the first I was on the fence about, do I actually do this? I wanted to, but I thought it might have been a distraction from kind of the business training I was doing. Mm-hmm. But we were wanting to, or my rational, or how I rationalized it was thinking, well, I can help freelancers who are good at like building sites or coding stuff mm-hmm. to add a skill to their skill set that doesn't take a lot of time. I mean, automation just requires learning a tool mm-hmm. and some of the best practices on using it. And they can effectively upsell their client on, hey, I'll build you a site, but I'll also wire up some stuff so when you generate leads from that site, it can, you know, do this, this, and this.
Right, right.
So that was that. And that's done really, actually, really well. Because it's 10 hours of video content. It's pretty in-depth, but right. Really, really like it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's double your freelancing. It just kind of, it's fully automated in that we consistently have lead flow coming in. They go through this kind of like, I call it a Plinko board of different things, depending on what they do behaviorally, demographically, who they are, mm-hmm. What they bought, and so on. So I optimize putting people top of funnel, and everything down funnel just works.
Yeah.
Including first sell, upsells, cross sells, all that other stuff is pretty automatic at this
pretty
point.
Pretty dialed in at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's stuff I tweak over time, but
yeah.
For the most part. Yeah. I mean, even the pitches are, I don't do like the typical internet marketer pitch mm-hmm. every 3 months thing. Instead yeah. it's based off of what you're doing.
Totally. And you're like, one thing I like about it, and I like about the way that you've built your business is you're like, you're looking to add value every single step of the way. And then you're also, it seems like you almost have a process for like, okay, people have asked this, and so I built this course. And then yeah. After this course, people are asking this other thing. So like, let's try this other thing, right? And then yep. like, you've basically built out a full like pipeline of like, okay, if you're just starting out, you start here, and you basically just take them all the way along. And yep. you can upsell them to different courses. But along the way, they're making more money because they've taken your other courses, right?
And that's what it is the risk, the financial risk of investing, like, let's say $300 for a lot of people is not that huge. Mm-hmm. But investing $9,000 in the academy is. But everyone who joined the academy effectively came from, they bought this, got a lot of results from it. Mm-hmm. And then they bought the next year, got more results. And mm-hmm. with each time they tack another digit to the end of the product's price, mm-hmm. it becomes a little more immersive. So there's hand holding, there's one-on-one.
Yep.
As stuff top of funnel is more, you buy this, you get something prepackaged and generalized and yep. you go with that, but then you can kind of go down the ladder.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And so like, it is, I mean, having those different levels makes sense. This is something I'm thinking about now with Credo is like, you know, what level, depending on like price point and all that, like, what do you get for it? What level of support do you get? Like, how much is it automated? How much do we actually do for you? As opposed to like, you know, cause you can't give, I had one person that they signed up to Credo at the very bottom level and they churned out after 2 months and they were like, oh, I was hoping for like, you know, warm introductions that are ready, you know, ready to convert right now. And I was like, for $100 a month, like, you got to be kidding me, right? And like, and those bottom ones, you know, true like Tim Ferriss style, those bottom ones take up, you know, the bottom or the 90% that are paying you the least take up 90% of your time, and the ones that are paying you the most, like, those are the ones you can give more time to, and they take up like your, but they're not taking up like support time, right? And so like,
that's right,
figuring out how to optimize that as well.
And that's especially true for anything recurring, like Credo is. Mm-hmm. And that for one-off, to be honest, a lot of the one-off three-figure sales are pretty, like, support overhead is not much. But mm-hmm. once you get recurring and people yeah. need to continuously justify why am I paying this,
yep.
Then that's something you need to think about.
Totally.
Especially. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Well, Brennan, any final words of advice for people that, you know, are watching this and they, you know, they're either, so two different, like, I guess, personas. One is the people that are doing services, they're a consultant or an agency and want to do a product. What would you tell them? And then people like yourself, you know, or like myself, that, you know, you're an entrepreneur, you're constantly building out products. You obviously like love to write, love to build things, but you're also not wanting to go and build like huge teams of people, right? Of like full-time people. So like, what advice would you give them? Like, you know, if they're just starting to make the shift to like getting other people to do stuff.
Yeah. So, about the latter point, I historically have shied away from it, but with the right message, it could look like it's more of a business that would require more than just me and a handful of people.
Okay.
So I'll put that out there now.
Yeah. That, yeah.
At the moment, yes, DYF has been, yeah. But mm-hmm. Let me first address though the question of like if you so starting out, right? Mistakes I made and what I would recommend people do. It's very hard to start with software, especially if you don't have an audience. It's extremely difficult to because it requires a lot of R&D, and then you know, especially if you don't have the history of doing low touch sales, it's really it's easy for us to think, you know, we're fully invested in this product, we understand it, we understand why it's obvious and be bought, but learning how to communicate that effectively online in a low touch way is a very hard thing to do.
Yes.
So the best thing you could do is probably to start out with things that, in the words of Paul Graham, don't scale.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for instance, with Right Message, if you look at the history of that, I somewhat validated it, or the validation I did that most people would take as validation was, hey, this worked well on my own site, might as well make it a product.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did for years, or not years, but about a year and a half, is I mentioned I do consulting.
Mm-hmm.
I occasionally consult, and I only consulted for the purposes of seeing how else could I take what I was working for this on my own stuff and do it on other people's businesses. Am I a one-off, or could this be a little more universal?
Right.
So the consulting I did was effectively hand-coded implementation of what Right Message is currently.
Mm-hmm.
So that people were willing to part with a lot of money to get certain results. And that to me was great validation. Then I kind of opened up the circle a bit more by making it a course where I taught people about personalization and included a lot of the do-it-yourself code that you could then take, a lot of which was IP that came from my client work.
Mm-hmm.
So then that now 400 plus more people were willing to part with their money to learn a bit, like they were interested in the outcome. They were interested in that. So then now that I had people who I'd done a lot first manually, then more low touch with like a proper sales page and everything, but at first just over email, I'd really figured out a lot about kind of what people were wanting, how they describe their problems, what really clicked with people when it came to the promise of a product like Right Message. So that when I had IP and the semblance of a sales page for Right Message, and at first you couldn't, like the Right Message sales page was really just a teaser page that led to opt-ins where I would then communicate over email back and forth in a dialogue format with the people interested. And then only when I was confident of, if I'm going to switch from a dialogue, a conversation, to a monologue, which is a sales page, only when I knew enough about who I was going to be speaking this monologue to, was I confident enough to do that. Because before that, it was all high touch, conversational, back and forth, which allowed me to
like
really...
Like you manually talking with like those 400 people that signed up for that course or whatever?
Mostly for that course, it was mostly within the Facebook group I had.
Okay.
So it teased out different things about what I wanted to do, get conversations going. So at first with clients, it was one-on-one.
Yeah.
And then it became a group discussion.
Yep.
And now it's a Brennan to many discussion or monologue, I should say.
Yep, yep.
So that process is something that whenever I, with WR Freelancing, when I do products now, I don't start with the sales page. I start with, hey, PS of my newsletter for the week. I'm thinking of doing X. If you're interested, reply back and I'll tell you a bit more. And then people reply, and then I might have a template I'm working off of, but for the most part, I personalize it a bit. And then they reply and I drill down further and try to sell them without having any web page. And by selling them without having a page put together at all with a add to cart button, I'm able to really figure them out in a way that I couldn't do if I just said, I'm going to build the most amazing sales page ever, blast it out and hope it works.
All the best practices and
Which is risky. I mean, you could follow all the best practices, but that doesn't mean it's going to work. By doing this stuff manually first, I mean, that's the one thing I would not change about the way I'm doing stuff is everything I do that's new, I start with this, like, let's jump on a call, let's email back and forth. Let's do it that way first. And then, hey, you interested in buying? John replies, yes. Okay, here's the link. And it's like a link to some payment form.
Right.
That is the way that I've done it and it's worked best.
So you will actually get them to pay you before you even like fully build it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I pre-sold.
Totally.
Right Message and the marketing automation course I did before that kind of led to it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Wow. Yeah, that's super smart. That's the way, especially when you're bootstrapping, right? You get that payment up front. They're basically paying you to build out what they're paying you for.
Exactly.
Which is awesome. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of agencies will take their consulting revenue and try to, if they're running a profitable agency, which a lot of them aren't, but if you're running a good profitable agency, then you can take some of it and invest into other things that your clients are going to be, interested in, right? Or upset that they're interested in. But if you can actually get new people to pay you for that thing, that's even better, because then you can have all these crazy, crazy upsells and cross sells.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I could talk a lot about agencies building their own products, but a lot of them don't commit to it like an actual client project. It's more of a, we'll do it when we have time.
And yes. Yes.
It's one of these things that you need to actually, the benefit of doing this approach is you don't need to pull people off of client work to build out this great marketing funnel or this great product or anything. You can just converse over email. It's so much simpler.
Totally.
It doesn't take much time.
Totally.
And then once you get the validation of people actually saying, yeah, this, you sold me, how do I sign up?
Right.
Then go and actually formally take people from your team and have them work on a certain thing.
Well, especially if the validation is they paid you, right? They've given you their credit card information. Then it's you're not taking them away from consulting. You're not taking them away from revenue generating things. You've already generated revenue. You can pay them out of that and they can make you more revenue.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's really, I've seen a lot of agencies who build SaaS.
Yeah.
Have no idea what they're doing with low touch sales because they've only done things high touch. They don't want to do high touch for the SaaS because that's why they're doing the SaaS.
Right.
And then they just stumble and fall.
Yeah.
So
totally. Awesome. Well, Brendan, you've been super generous with your time, so I don't want to take more of it, but thank you for joining me. I really, really, really appreciate it. I've learned a ton. I'm sure people watching have learned a ton as well. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, thanks, John. So best places would be doubleyourfreelancing.com.
Yep.
I have a contact page that has my social media stuff and how to email me and everything else. But if you want to jump directly to Twitter, Brennan Dunn, BrennanDunn is the best way to reach me there.
Awesome. Well, Brennan, thanks again. And I look forward to following your journey and seeing what you do next.
Yeah, thank you, sir.